Hello, horror fiends, and welcome to Guess What You're Wrong, the podcast where we dive into all things horror and spoil the hell out of every movie we discuss. With me, Big D, as your host, be prepared for a terrifyingly good time. From classic slasher flicks to contemporary horror masterpieces, we're going to explore the genre from every angle that we can and leave no stone unturned. Horror, Prince, and Shine. New conversations, same podcast. So buckle up, Bonehead, because you're going for a ride.
Enjoy the show!
Now, before we get into this episode too far, I just got a little disclaimer here. First off, all audio used in this podcast is used under the protection of fair use. And as with all the movie reviews that I do here on Guess What You're Wrong, we're going to spoil the hell out of every single thing we talk about. So, you have been warned.
October came and went. The spooky season, which I love, is gone. November, wow, it came and went as well. It's Thanksgiving. Today is Thanksgiving Day. And with that, we have a special episode of Guess What? You're Wrong. Now, today, we are tackling the 2023 Eli Roth Thanksgiving. Let's get into the show.
Gobble, gobble, motherfucker.
Hello, and welcome back to another axe-wielding, turkey breast slicing, and also some thigh slicing.
Oh, God.
Episode of Guess What You're Wrong. Now, today, we have a special treat. This is a special episode. This is not scheduled, nothing like that. This is a special Thanksgiving episode. And for this special Thanksgiving episode, we have Kelvin joining us.
Hello, hello.
And let's just get it over with, okay? Gobble, gobble, motherfucker. All right.
Terrible, terrible film. But this is a level above.
Yeah. Sure. So what we're going to talk about today is actually Thanksgiving from 2023, the movie from Eli Roth. Oh, I forgot to actually watch the trailer again. I was going to watch that. Oh, well. What
the movie? Yeah, I guess. But now,
this movie, Eli Roth. So a synopsis. After a Black Friday riot ends in tragedy, a mysterious Thanksgiving-inspired killer terrorizes Plymouth, Massachusetts, the birthplace of the infamous holiday. Kind of. If you know your history. Kind of.
So, the whole thing with this, the trailer you were talking about earlier, it was a Grindhouse trailer in like 2011. Mm-hmm. And it was an 80s movie, a trailer for an 80s movie that was very, very violent and very, very, in the lore of the universe of that movie, it never got actually released.
Yeah, I know that wasn't there a few trailers in that movie that mm-hmm. they were just there for the Grindhouse effect.
Yeah.
But people were like, wait a minute, when is that coming out? And it was like Eli Roth was like, well, shit, better make this movie, I guess.
And he says that this movie is, since that one did get, never got released, this is like the reboot of that movie. Because then that, obviously, it's not set in the 80s, it's 2023, yeah. Which it kind of needed to be. I mean, I said that before, and when you see the movie, you kind of need to set it in.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of notes the movie because I was too busy watching the damn thing. And normally, when I'm going to do a podcast, I try and watch it at least twice, that way I can take some notes. But I don't have any notes except what's in my head. Now, I know when the movie opens up, you know, the first thing that I gathered opens up, you see two different families having Thanksgiving.
See, I missed this part. I've seen this movie twice now, and I missed that part.
So we have two different families, you know.
I missed this, by the way, twice. I've seen this movie twice, and I missed the beginning. Like, I, in right one, Bobby and Jess get in the car, and they go to the right mart. That's basically, party. Yeah.
They're supposed to go to a movie.
They're supposed to go see a movie.
And, you know, so right at the beginning, we open up with a family that's more modest, you know, middle income type of family. Having things or getting ready for Thanksgiving dinner. And one of the guests of honor is the sheriff. He comes in, who was played by
McDreamy, dude from Grey's Anatomy. I don't know his name.
I don't even see him listed here,
which is kind of insane because he's, you know,
wow. He's the main character. I don't know. I'm looking for McDreamy. And I don't see him.
I mean, his name isn't. I don't think his name is McDreamy.
What?
That's what people call him.
I was looking for McDreamy this whole time.
Patrick Dempsey. That's his name.
Patrick Dempsey. I knew who that is. So yeah, Patrick Dempsey is the guest of honor at this, you know, the middle income dinner, and we have the wife of Ty Olson, who plays Mitch Collins. The wife is, oh, she's famous too. Who was the wife? She's not listed here either. This is kind of messed up. She had some plastic surgery done, but still very familiar.
Gina Gershon.
That's who it was. From 80s people know who Gershon is. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I know of her. I've seen her face. I've never seen anything with her in it.
This is a family. I mean, you have this Ty Olson who plays Mitch, Gina Gershon who plays his wife, and the sheriff, which I guess is like a family friend coming over for Thanksgiving dinner. I mean,
family friend.
Yeah. We find out more later. But then it switches over to the other family that's having Thanksgiving dinner. And they're the rich upper class family. They're the owners of, what's it called? Right Mart? Is that what
it's called? Yep, Right
Mart. Right Mart. And there are, you know, the fancy. They got the whole.
By the way, I kept thinking S-Mart. Like every time we were there, I kept thinking S-Mart.
Shop, smart, shop, Right Mart. Kind of deal?
Yeah, exactly.
But they're all sitting around, you know, they got their fans, everybody, they're all dressed up too, except for the one daughter, who is Jessica, played by Nell Verlock. Yeah, that sounds right.
I've never seen her or anything, but she did good in this movie. I liked her.
She was kind of cute.
She was like
young. I hate when I say that because I'm like, she's kind of cute.
But you feel bad about it because
she could be my daughter. Oh my gosh. Dirty old man. But I didn't say she was hot. She was just kind of cute.
Yeah.
So that's different.
It's redeemable.
But right away off the bat, this is what I got. We were going to have a type of class warfare type of move because they're showing the differences between the two families and how they're celebrating Thanksgiving. I was kind of in for a surprise.
Yeah.
There was more to it. I'll say it does stick along the class lines a little bit.
Yeah.
But they are blurred so much that I got a bit of a surprise.
Especially once you get in the beginning, once the Black Friday scene hits.
Oh my gosh. Just going to that.
It's so funny because like going into the movie, I was like, yeah, it's a Thanksgiving movie. But Jared, one of our friends, he told me, better what, you got to see that opening scene. And I was like, okay, I'll make sure to stick around for that.
I didn't, I've seen this. I've seen these Black Friday
things happen in real life. Yeah.
I've never seen them happen in real life. I've seen them on TV.
Oh, no. Yeah. So you've seen it on YouTube.
And I've been to Black Friday events, but nothing ever happens. Everybody's just like, okay, they go in and buy their stuff and they leave. But then I see on the news, oh my gosh, 5 people were slaughtered and killed over a
cabbage patch or
something like that. I'm like, I've never seen anything like this scene. These people were going nuts.
Yeah, no, like
over a free waffle maker.
Yeah, dude, that was the one dude who got his right when he walked through, he got his throat sliced. He's grabbing the waffle iron, he's dying. I'm like, so, you idiot.
They see that the crowd, the rich kids, one of the daughters. Dad owns the store.
Yeah. It's
Right. Their last name is Wright.
I can't remember the actor's name. I just know him as Lewis Litt from Suits.
That is, I just saw.
Oh yeah, Rick Hoffman.
Yeah, Rick
Hoffman. You know he's in Hostel, the first Hostel movie.
I haven't seen that in a while either.
Long time, yeah.
I got a friend of mine actually April Hunter, interviewed. She is a fan of Hostel. And I was like, man, I remember watching that movie, but it creeped me. I didn't want to travel.
Yeah. No, yeah.
I was like, no, I don't want to do it.
It's a little messed up, though. I've never seen any of the other ones, but that first one, yeah. That was that's the movie.
So what are you drinking over there, Kelvin?
It's a Voodoo Ranger Imperial IPA.
Spectaculous. You know, time for bad shine, baby. I'm just saying. But so we get into this Black Friday scene of this movie.
And
it is.
Consumerism does to people.
I'm telling you, this is beyond consumerism.
Yeah, this is.
Well, we see early on, there's a group.
They just have no thought of any other people around them.
No.
They are just only going for the waffle iron or whatever they're trying to buy.
Well, you see that there's a group, there's a main group that we see that eventually they get killed up at the front that are like the antagonizers. You know, they're fighting, they're constantly fighting and fighting and fighting. And then when they see the rich kids going through the back door because
she has a key.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The one kid throws a fit and he starts screaming, "Hey, what about them?" And he starts riling up the crowd even more.
Yeah, that kid, he's a big part of the problem because he's the one that grabs the megaphone and tells them that it's open.
It's open.
Yeah, so he's a
big, and they and when he does that, okay, the rich kids got inside. Now, they were supposed to go in. The guy wanted to get a phone. And
yeah, his phone got
broken. And they were going to get something else. Chat or lipstick.
A lipstick, yeah.
But it was supposed to be secret. They were supposed to go in and get out. Mission. But the guy, what's his, I don't even remember.
I don't know, the teenager one?
The one kid that we were saying that you're glad that he kind of died because he was a dick.
Oh, his name was Evan.
Evan.
Yeah, he...
He goes up to the front and he's like, hey, look, I got a phone. He's mocking crowd,
yeah,
you know, that he's in there. And that's when the guy grabs a megaphone and tells him it's open. And they had locked the doors and everything.
Yeah, dude, man, that one poor security guard.
And
so he locks the doors, right? And people are already still running out the thing. And so the wife of one of the store workers, Ty Olson, she tells him to unlock the door.
Gina Gershon.
Yeah, yeah. He goes to unlock the door, but the glass is already cracking. And the moment it just falls on him, and the people just start
and they stomp him. I mean, yeah. They trample him. And it's just like
then the one guy who's running through gets his throat sliced.
Yeah, and he gets his throat sliced. He's bleeding out, dying, but he makes it over to grab one of these fucking waffle irons.
It's like, are you serious?
Now, he's dying, holding on to this waffle iron. Somebody comes up and takes it from him. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I'm like, dude.
That's insane. Instead of, I don't know, getting like your shirt and like trying to like, I don't know, stop the bleeding, you're like, I gotta get this waffle iron.
This whole scene is filled with a bunch of fucking idiots. And the stuff that happens here, I'm like, you know, Gina Gershon, who she's pretty famous, you know, I mean, she gets not, and she's the wife of Mitch Collins.
Yeah, yeah, one of the guys who works at the store.
Yeah, who got called, and forgot to mention that he was at home, wasn't supposed to work on Thanksgiving, he was with his family, but he got called in because somebody else
was gone. I missed the beginning, so I didn't see that part.
Yeah, he was at home with his family, he was supposed to have a good time.
I'm not even supposed to be here today.
Yeah, he wasn't even supposed to be there. But, you know, he's outside trying to calm the crowd down. He told them to lock the doors so that way nobody could get in. But then Gina Gershon's on the inside, and she's like, no, you got to open the door. You got to go get Mitch. Mm-hmm. And that's when the security guard
goes to try
to open the door, and you see the glass start splintering. Dude, and these people go fucking nuts.
And poor Gina, she's on the ground already because she's got pushed over and stuff, and then a shopping cart just...
Bah! Yeah. I mean, she gets knocked over. She gets hit in the head with the shopping cart. Did she die at that point? Just kind of hurting.
I think she was dead. And then to make matters worse, her hair was stuck in the shopping cart wheel and it got ripped open.
And it like gave her a little bit of scalping. It was, oh my gosh. Just, I got to tell you too, and it didn't look like I don't know for sure. But it looked like they used a lot of practical effects.
Oh yeah, no, dude. When,
and that looked very, that was good.
Yeah, that was bad. When poor Bobby, when he gets his arm, like, just stepped on that. Mm-hmm. Was gross. That was gross. Mm-hmm. I felt so bad.
Talking about, you know, Bobby was one of the rich kid teenagers.
Yeah, he's also a baseball player about to go to college for pitcher.
And he sees the security guard is under the door. Yeah, they called him Golden Arm, and he was like, he wants to get out and help the guy.
Yeah.
So he tries to. He's crouched down protecting himself and his girlfriend, who is Jessica.
Who's Jess? Yeah, the main girl.
Yeah, and he tries to starts getting up, so he puts his hands on the ground like you're trying to push yourself up, and this crowd just falls over and steps like right. They don't even step on a joint.
Yeah, no, it's like right here. It's like, I don't know. It's like right here.
It breaks the bone. Breaks
his, because the way he has a position is the problem. Because like I think he's in the middle of movement, and because that, like, yeah,
it was terrible. But so he's down for the count.
Oh, and then there's the only other people we see on our team is Julia, who's Scuba's girlfriend.
Yeah, Scuba.
She gets dropped on the ground, and him being the hero he is.
Yeah, he just jumps over. Yeah,
he's just trying
to lays on top of her, kind of trying to protect her. Mm-hmm. And then we have that. What's it?
Evan? The idiot Evan. The whole time, instead of I don't know, getting his girlfriend out of there, instead of helping his friends, he's just filming the whole thing.
Yeah, he gets out. Earlier in
his girlfriend's phone.
Yeah.
Because his phone was broken, which is why they were in there in the first place.
He needed to get a new phone. And earlier in the movie, they're talking about he punched some guy from Hanover, and what's her face? His girlfriend was too busy filming herself, and instead of filming, so he gets his opportunity. He wants to go viral.
He wants his 15 seconds of fame or whatever, or
15 minutes of fame. Yeah. So he jumps up on a countertop and he's recording everything as it's going down. But guess what? That's the only video footage that makes it out because the security cameras mysteriously. They're
not working.
They didn't. Yeah, reason. They didn't. They didn't work. That
giant massacre of a day.
So nobody knows exactly what happened there, but that happened on Thanksgiving. Because
a year later passes.
Yeah, well, it's supposed to be Black Friday, but now they're like, well, everybody shops on Thanksgiving anyway, so that was Thanksgiving Day. Mm-hmm. So we have a year later. We have this massacre. We have this this shit show, basically, is what happens. I mean, a year later, it's coming up Thanksgiving time again.
Yep. Already there.
And the store is planning on doing their Black Friday.
They got more security this time, though, so I'm sure it'll be fine.
We forgot to mention the one security guard that...
He's the Manny. He's
Tim Dillon.
Yeah, he's a comedian. He ran off. He dipped. Yeah, he said, honestly, you know what? I don't blame him.
If I was out there in that crowd... Now, if I was one of the guys that's inside with a girlfriend, I would have done my best with my girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
But if I'm a security guard outside, I'm like, no, fuck this. I'm out, dude.
And I got nobody else that I care about here. I'm be like, all right.
Pay me minimum wage for this shit, you know? Yeah, I'm not sticking around. I'm not dealing with these crazy people here.
I saw the other security guard get stomped on. I'm good, man. Yeah. I'm good.
I'm out. But, so, it's a year later, and this Black Friday, you know, the only reason why, I mentioned this earlier when we left the theater, the only reason why the dad, what was his name?
Oh, yeah. Rick Hoffman? I can't remember his actual...
Rick Hoffman.
Just the dad.
He's the dad. Yeah, he's the dad guy. He was the dad, right?
Yeah.
But whatever. The last name was right. The only reason why he agreed to stay open on Thanksgiving was because he's pussy whipped. His new wife was like, we can make more money by opening up on Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah.
So he agreed to it.
Yeah.
That was the only reason why. Because they were supposed to be closed that day and they were going to show up the next morning for Black Friday. And eventually later on, you know, he gets his balls back and he's like, no.
Yeah.
We're closed on Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Later on, he apologizes to his daughter because he realizes that he was just mourning his. You know, his past wife. You know, so he just needed something there. You know?
Yeah. What happens to the... Ooh, we'll get to that here in a minute.
A year has passed, and all our characters are still there. The only person who's left is Bobby. He just straight up ditched Jess.
Yeah, he ditched everybody.
Yeah, like, specifically, he ghosted her. That's his girlfriend. He just never texted her again.
He just took off. You know, I wonder... Okay, now... I don't know. That's kind of suspicious.
Well, no... Later on, he tells her, he says, I blamed you because of what happened. And now he's like, I feel stupid about it now. But at the time, it's why I left. It's because I blamed you.
I
buy that.
Okay, yeah. Oh, yeah, I'll buy that. I'll buy that for a dollar.
Oh, but now, guess who she's dating? His name is Ryan. Ryan. Oh, no.
Bobby's the one that left.
Yeah, Bobby's the one that left. He's the short, curly-haired baseball player.
Jalen Thomas Brooks is his name. Now she's dating
Ryan, which is Milo Manheim.
Milo Manheim. What a fucking name, Milo.
It's funny because he's in the new, there's a Christian movie about Jesus' birth out right now in theaters, and he plays Joseph, I guess, right? That's his dad, or, you know, his dad.
Was it a new one out?
Yeah.
Hmm.
It's out right now.
Didn't know that. I don't keep much. Unless it's horror related. Yeah, I really don't know. I really don't.
I have to because I work there, but... I work at a theater.
So. Now, I like a lot of historical movies, though. I mean, I like...
Yeah, but it doesn't look very historical. It looks like just the story of his birth.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, it's just the manger, like that stuff, yeah.
Anyway, so... where were we at in this movie? I drank too much already.
I mean, a year later, right now she's dating Ryan, as Bobby left.
Oh, yeah.
And Ryan... him at the very beginning of the Black Friday scene, you can tell he's trying to get with her.
Oh, yeah.
From the very beginning.
Yeah, he's trying to get it. Right. Let me get you a front row. Let me get you right in there. He's guiding her through because her boyfriend, Bobby, is kind of a local star.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Like, everybody's, hey, let me get a selfie. Hey.
He's golden arm, man. He's got the golden arm.
But now this guy, he's a smart guy. So where we had Bobby was the athlete. She's now with a smart guy. We find out later on that he's also an Adderall junkie.
No, I mean, hey, man, he's also got money because he bought Steeler something tickets, like some football tickets.
Three of them.
Yeah, three of them. Him
at the 50-yard line.
He's got money. Clearly, he's buying Adderall.
I know kids still did that.
What? Oh, no, that's a huge Adderall. It's a huge thing in the college scene, for sure.
Is it?
Yeah.
Maybe that's why I'm always tired in class.
Compared to everybody else.
And it took me so long to get my degrees.
But everybody else who was on Adderall.
Everybody else was like, A+. And I'm like, still hungover.
Just drinking coffee.
But so what's the first death?
Oh, the first death is Lizzie.
Amanda Barker. Now, she played a pretty big role at that first
The Black Friday.
Yeah, the Black Friday riot.
She's technically...
She was hand-in-hand with the other guy.
Yeah.
The other guy with the megaphone. She was the other...
She was technically the one that killed the one dude's wife.
Gina Gershon, yeah.
Because they were the ones that were slamming the car into her head.
Yep, she is. And so the first... We have a year later, and they're setting up their Black Friday deal. There's a lot of controversy where people are saying, oh, we don't think you should be doing this because what happened last year? And they're saying, well, no, we got more security. We'll be fine. Well, they're also handing out these old...
John Carver masks.
Yeah. If you're a kid from the 80s and early 90s, you remember these plastic masks that we used to buy for Halloween. They're like plastic. You know, you had the Hulk, you had Superman, all these different plastic
masks. I still have them now sometimes. Like Chewbacca, most of the time it's a plastic mask.
Yeah, but now they're more nostalgia-based stuff. Mm-hmm. But they were... Everybody hands out these... what are they? Carver masks?
Mm-hmm. John Carver.
I guess they hand them out. As long as you're a customer at this restaurant, you get something, they give you a mask.
Yeah.
So they're handing them out to everybody. Because it's a huge deal. I don't know who... Is John Carver an actual guy in history?
I have no
clue. I don't even know.
Think of it. John...
Carver Plymouth.
Yeah. Former governor of Plymouth Colony.
Oh.
So it's... Yeah. And it looks like the mask.
That's kind of fun and creepy there.
Counts like a Jesus kind of figure.
So he... was an actual historical figure. Found that out now. So everybody wears these masks now. So the first kill scene that we have somebody dressed up as a pilgrim. Obviously, it's in
Plymouth.
It's
yeah,
in Plymouth. So there's a lot of people dressed up like pilgrims.
Yeah,
a lot.
Yeah,
but this guy just slipped on the John Carver mask, and he's got something. I saw something. He had something covering the back of his head, like a hoodie or something, because you couldn't tell his hair.
No, yeah,
he kept looking.
He had a balaclava.
Balaclava, yeah.
But you can see through his eyes. But yeah, he had a balaclava here.
And that's what I was like, I couldn't see his hair. I was looking at see how long his hair was and stuff.
You know what's weird, though? So there's a scene at the diner, and whenever Ryan comes in, there's a moment where she looks out the window, and there's a guy staring at her with the mask on.
Yeah.
But you can see his hair, and it doesn't look like the guy who we find out who it is. So I'm like, ooh, that was just a random dude just happened to be staring at her.
And this is the year later. Now, was he actually staring at...
Jess?
Or was he staring at Lizzie? Because this is the next scene where Lizzie gets killed.
Yeah, Lizzie gets killed, yeah. So he's going after her, maybe? Who knows?
That's what I was thinking. At first when I saw it, I thought maybe he was staring at Jess. But then after you see this next kill scene, he kills Lizzie. I mean, cuts her in fucking half.
Oh, yeah. No, that part was messed up. But the thing that got me was when her face was stuck in the freezer. And she had to rip
herself off. Yeah, there's the whole scene with her, the killer chasing her through...
The back kitchen of the diner.
And then sticks her head in a sink full of water and then opens up the freezer and sticks her face. And anybody that's seen A Christmas Story knows what happens.
When
you stick something wet on something ice cold, her face just stuck. He went to get his axe because he has this historical axe that was hanging up in the Carver house. He sharpened it all up. They showed that whole scene where he's sharpening it all up. Now, he went to get his axe and he's coming back to kill her. She pulls her face off of the
hands.
Yeah, and just rips the skin off, and you're just like, I gotta tell you, this movie's filled with a lot of those scenes where you're like, God damn it, it hurts so bad. It hurts. Yeah. I gotta stop.
I'm like squinting almost. I'm like,
but she makes it out. She runs out and she grabs
her purse.
She has the wherewithal to grab her purse before she goes out, but her keys are gone, dude. Yeah,
because he grabbed them.
he grabbed her car keys, and she's out there digging in her purse for her car keys. How did he get in the car so quick? Well, he's a serial killer. He's a slasher guy.
Yeah, he's got slasher powers.
He's got Jason Voorhees powers.
He just teleport places and instantly change clothes as well.
he's in the car, turns it on. You see the high beams come on. She starts running away. He slams her into
plan,
her.
I guess her plan is to just jump in the dumpster and hope.
Yeah, well, if she would have made it, she probably would have been okay. Well, until he got out.
Yeah.
But she tries to jump in this trash dumpster.
It's open. So the moment he crashes into her, or into the trash can, it closes, and she's about halfway through when it closes.
Cuts her in half.
Yeah, you just see all her organs and
intestines. Now, that had it been digital effects.
Yeah, for sure.
That had it been digital.
But what wasn't was when you see it on top of the right star, and it's just a set of legs with organs spilling out, which is on there.
Wait, all you see is the sheriff saying, get that, cover that body up, cover that body up, until they pan up, and it's Lizzie's bottom torso stuck on top of the star. with guts, like intestines hanging out.
There we go. Okay, I was wondering where Plymouth is. Massachusetts. Yeah, of course. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah, yeah. But their accents in this movie are insane. Because I've never...
Some of the accents were not... Some of those accents sounded like New Jersey accents.
Yeah, I think, you know, maybe those people were moving around. His accent, specifically the sheriff's, yeah. I didn't know what he was doing. Like, I've never been to Massachusetts, but it was insane hearing him talk.
I was just working there. I was in Baltimore, Maryland. I wasn't in Massachusetts. Never mind. Look, people are crazy.
Oh, wait, yeah, no, I remember you telling. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's the first death scene. I mean, you know, we're a half an hour into this podcast. We just got to the first
real kill.
Real slasher kill.
Yeah, slasher kill.
But it builds up quick.
Yeah. No, yeah.
You know, and who's the second one?
Oh, okay. So the second one
is the comedian.
Yep, yep. Get to him. And in between that happening, basically, you just see the kids again. They get a post because they keep getting posts on Instagram.
And this is why it's important that it took place.
Yes, now.
Currently.
Because
of how they do this.
Yes, because they keep getting tagged on these posts where it's like this Thanksgiving table set up. And on each of the plates is a card with somebody's name. And it's the kids. It's most of the kids, the dad and the stepmom, I believe.
Yeah. Well, at first, I think they can only see like three names.
Yeah, because more because pictures picture. Get added. Yeah, yeah, more pictures get added. It sense of them.
And it looks like a nice table. You're like, wow, that'd be kind of cool. I wouldn't mind sitting down for Thanksgiving dinner at that table. That's kind of cool.
The next picture is where you see the upper half of the lady sitting at the table.
Yeah.
And they're like,
and the comedian Manny, Tim Dillon, you see his head sitting on a plate and that upper torso of Liz sitting.
Yeah, just sitting in the back. Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. His death was one of the ones where I was like, it didn't, I don't know, it was nothing like insane. It was, she just kind of got stabbed by a turkey carver.
Yeah.
That was about it.
Well,
the really cute thing though was,
he cut his head off. Yes. And then as he's leaving, he puts the head
in his little bag. He's leaving.
And the cat's
and like, are you food? And so he feeds him, pets him a little bit.
But then as he's leaving, it's an electric turkey knife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And as he's leaving, you hear it go, it moved a little bit more.
It's still going in him. Yeah, probably.
I was like, wow, dude, that kind of messed up.
You know for a fact that cat's going to drink some of that blood that's on that.
Well, there's stories. I've seen stories in the newspaper all the time.
Yeah. Like, you don't feed a cat and if, like, the owner's dead, they'll eat it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Cats, dogs, any animal. If you have an animal and you live alone.
And you die.
Your animal's going to eat your body.
Yeah, because there's nothing else to eat. And then once they get through that, they're most likely.
They're going
to
come in. Yeah, well, sorry, you know.
Like, hey, man, I loved you, but you're not here to feed me, and you're hungry. Dead.
And you know what the bad thing is that after that happens, they put those animals down.
Of course, yeah, because they're,
you know, it's not their fault.
Yeah, no, they needed to eat.
We're getting off track.
Yeah,
I feel bad for those animals.
Yeah, so do I. Yeah, they don't deserve that. They really don't.
Okay, so where were we at? Who died?
Tim Dillon died. The comedian. He got his head cut off. It's on the plate now, or it's on the not plate. You know what I mean?
It was a plate. Yeah, the head was on. He put it on a plate.
I couldn't remember.
Mm. There's a lot of people. Karen, well, her last name is actually Cliche. Karen Cliche plays Kathleen. She's the stepmother.
Yeah.
She just created this. And honestly, it's because of her that all this shit happened.
She's the one that deleted the footage.
Yeah, she deleted the footage. But it was also her that was pushing to be open on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So if she never would have come into the picture, period, Thanksgiving probably would have been pretty nice. There would be no movie.
Ooh. Okay. And then
pretty damn strong.
For sure, after that one dude dies, what's his name? The comedian.
Yeah.
Comedian dude.
Manny. Him, Dillon Manny, yeah.
And then that's when we get to the scene where the sheriff is getting more information about the people who were there at the Yeah, from Jess and from Bobby.
Yeah, because Bobby shows back up on a scene. He ghosted everybody, but he mysteriously shows up, wants to walk with Jessica.
But that's when he explains to about what happened.
I blamed you, blah, 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 blah. Oh.
Go inside, talks to the cop, and then that's when she goes to get the footage, the footage that's still left on her dad's computer.
Oh, yeah, they break into that.
Yeah, so she gets that. She gets some photos. Yeah,
and what I don't understand is, why not just get a flash drive? She prints out some pictures. Mm-hmm. You're rich. Get a fucking flash drive. Throw all the video footage on a flash drive. And just take that.
It's a movie. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. And
that's exactly what I was thinking, too. When she was, I was like, put on a flash drive. Yeah. Put on a flash drive.
Again, she for the movie's plot, we only really need them because we need to see the people that were there.
Yeah.
And the sheriff specifically needs to see the people that were there. And so he sees he sees the two teenagers, the two from Hanover, the ones that got punched.
Yeah.
The cheerleader and the jock. And then we go to them, to their high school. We see him like doing a bunch of like drills for the workouts for all the other jock guys. And his girlfriend's like, hey, come on, let's go have a little fun. So they go to the gymnasium and we see the trampoline. And she starts jumping on it, doing her little, you know, sexy escapade or whatever.
I knew that they were gonna die.
Yeah.
I did.
Oh, for sure.
I
mean, yeah.
But I'm always hoping, I'm like, oh man, just at least I know you're gonna kill a guy, but let him get a little pleasure beforehand. No. There's no pleasure to be had. This guy, and he was horny. He wanted to go out there, and you know, are they in high school?
Yeah, they're in a high school.
Oh man, I really feel bad now for saying that she was cute. But they're, you know, they're actually probably like 30 years old.
Oh yeah, no, they're all 30 year olds for sure. But he, while she's up yeah, there jumping, up. While she's up there jumping, you see him, you know, just having a good old time watching, getting ready to watch, and then he's not watching.
She starts, are you ready? And she starts pulling on her panties.
Yes, oh yes, true. And she does a split as well.
Yeah, she does a split on the trampoline, starts pulling on her panties, and she has her back toward him.
Yes, so she's not seeing
what happens to him.
Because he's staring directly at her, and then his face goes 180 because he just grabs his head.
But his body doesn't change.
Yeah, no. Same. His neck just looks like a slinky. turned around.
Turned.
And she's not noticing any of this, and she's still jumping up, and right at... Again, this dude's real quick, real fast. He somehow just gets under that trampoline within, like, 5 seconds. And then the moment she jumps, she's just jumping with her feet up, and you see the blade come down up, and she stabs her foot. She freaks out.
You said that there was something like this in the trailer, right?
So in the Grindhouse trailer, you do see it's pretty much this, but his head's get twisted, and instead of her getting stabbed like multiple times in the body and in the leg, you see her do the split. She's going down while doing the split, and the knife comes up, so she gets stabbed.
You know what happened?
Yeah.
And that's in the trailer, and. I saw that trailer, but I saw it when the Grindhouse movies first came out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I haven't actually seen them since. Maybe that'll be an episode sometime in the future. But that's what I thought was going to happen. Because when they open up, when she's on the trampoline, she does a split. And then later on, while she's jumping, you see that knife. Oh, dude.
Yeah. But I was glad they didn't do that because I felt a little gross.
It does feel gross. But I think.
I mean, no matter what, it happens to. She was getting stabbed.
She got stabbed everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean,
like
you're on a trampoline. She came down. She got stabbed in the foot. She's still bouncing.
She fell.
She gets stabbed in the leg.
And then she gets body stabbed. In the back of the head. I think 'cause her mouth starts spewing blood.
Yeah. So I think the way they did it in this one is more effective because she keeps bouncing.
Yeah. Yeah. And the last one, it's just she literally just drops and that's it. Yeah. It just
that was in a trailer. So. But you know, so that's two more down.
Mm-hmm. I mean. And then I think after that is when they're at the so they die, so they cancel the game. Yeah. And then
Evan is pissed off. I'm gonna go play the game by myself.
And Scoob was like, "You can't play a game by yourself, dumbass." He's like, "Watch me." And he goes to the field.
I'm like, dude, are you that much of and he is that much of a dick.
Yeah, no, yeah.
And I know people like that in high school, and I just wanna punch somebody now.
But so, you know, the game's canceled. So they go back inside to go change Evan and his girlfriend.
Scuba and Yulia.
No. Scuba and Yulia are outside. They're doing.
That's right. It's Evan and his girlfriend that go inside. What's Evan's girlfriend's name?
I know it's Addison Ray. I know that. I don't know what her character name is. Gabby.
Okay.
So Gabby.
Wow. IMDb is no fucking help at all in this movie. What the fuck?
Yeah, no, it's IMDb's doing bad.
IMDb, get your shit together, or I'll stop using you. Probably not, but it's a good threat.
But they're in the school; they're about to go get changed, and man, this is kind of fun.
Are they going
to
get changed, or are they going to
get jump scared? Because man, in the free. I think it got me the first time too, but I see the second time. I was waiting and to see how it happened.
The thing is, they're walking down this hallway, and all you see is just like. Janitor's mopping bucket thing with wheels. And you're like, oh, okay. And just It's a jump scare. Out of nowhere. It's just like, and the guy's there. Yeah, I jumped.
He must chloroform them or something, because they're not killed. They're kidnapped.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I was like, later on, you find out they're not dead. When this happens, you think they're dead.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
And you're like, oh, shit. Okay. And then Jessica's like.
She gets a text from Gabby saying, come here.
Oh, she goes down and she sees that. It's like a clothing bin or something like that. One of those things that they put dirty clothes in. And she goes down there and she finds the phone in there. And the guy tries to kill her.
But she sees the reflection.
Yeah.
And
she gets out. Because, you know, you got to have that strong female character. And I don't say that to be mocking. When you're watching a horror movie, there's always a strong female character.
Yeah, there's always the final.
You have that final girl. Yeah. There's not a final guy, you know.
Sometimes there is, depending on the movie. Like Get Out. Get Out, he's a final guy. But that's a different kind of horror situation as well.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, but we're looking at slasher movies, though. You have a final girl.
A final girl. Yeah, exactly.
So when I say that she was strong and, you know, she did.
Yeah.
She outsmarted this guy.
She did a good job, too. The actress. I've never seen her in anything else. I liked her.
And I can't say that I like her because she was supposed to be in high school. Let me look up her age first, and then I'll tell you if I liked her or not.
She gets to run away at some point from him, and she sprays some what's called
hairspray.
Yeah, hairspray in his face, and she's able to get away. And so the
they don't even have her age on here. They just have she's 5'11" and 3/4. 3/4 matter. Mm-hmm. And they have a post to her Instagram account. They don't have her age.
She is
no Verloch.
Come on, she's
but
she's 23.
Yeah, see.
Yeah.
I don't feel too bad then.
Weird though. She's my age basically.
Yeah.
They're outside. The two friends are kidnapped, and it's Jess, Scuba, and Julia who are outside when Julia's dad, Arnold Schwarzenegger, comes out of nowhere and picks her up.
Up to this point here, I knew that her name was heard him say Julia.
No, they usually say Julia. They've been saying Julia the whole time. That's what I heard. But then after that moment, they start calling her Julia because at that moment is when you realize, I guess she's Russian. Or something. Yeah. I thought it was funny. But they're going to go move to Florida.
He's like, get in the, he didn't say get in the car.
He says something Russian.
He says get in the Mercedes.
Yeah, he says get in the Mercedes.
He didn't say get in the car, get in the Mercedes. He's got, I don't even know what that kind of, I don't remember what kind of Mercedes are driving. One of them. SUV
yeah.
looking
mm-hmm. yeah.
Obscure. I don't even know. They're paint. I don't know.
Yeah. It's a Mercedes car, but
it's an SUV. It's one of it's very expensive and only rich, snobby people drive them.
I'm going to be honest with you. She was a nice girl. Maybe her dad wasn't great,
but yeah.
She was nice. I don't know, man. He gave that cop all that food, you know.
Yeah. Well, and the cop died right afterwards. Yeah. So, did he really do anything good there?
But so. They're leaving, and that's when Scuba's like, all right, we got to take stuff in our own hands. So he goes to the...
I forget to mention, this guy's actually been in the movie, the whole movie.
Yeah, true. His dad is like the guy who, I guess, is the firearm dealer around town. Like, he's the one who sells guns. And so earlier on, you see him...
We find out that he was a war vet as well.
Yes, in Iraq. Yeah, true. And he jokingly, he's like, trying to offer the kids to buy guns, but he's like, nah, actually, I'm trying to sell alcohol.
This fuck.
He's like the classic.
I knew people like that when I was in school.
He's too. The classic local like dropout stoner dude.
Yeah,
but he's actually helpful in this movie.
He's very helpful actually.
He's a nice guy generally because they go up to him and they need a gun, and so he goes through a whole bunch of lists. They pull out a Desert Eagle and it's a 45 Magnum.
The Desert Eagle's a 50 cal.
Yeah.
And
it was gold too. It was gold.
And for anybody that knows anything about firearms, a 50 caliber bullet is what they shoot off of the top of Humvees and
snipers.
I mean, yeah, and sniper gun rifles. They use 50 cals because they can go through metal, go through tanks.
Yeah, it's funny. I think he makes that joke.
I put that in a handgun.
It's funny. He makes that joke. He says he's like, you won't really need that unless you're trying to hunt a bear or you're in the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah.
And he's like, finally, he's like, can I have something like for a normal human? And he just gives him like a basic pistol.
I got to tell you, Kelvin, we know, I don't even know. What's this guy's name?
I don't know.
We should know his name.
Yeah, I liked him a lot. We didn't get his name.
I am.
Yeah, this is System.
And be sucks, so leave it up to Kelvin to find out who this is.
Oh, that's not high school. That's the thing, like, they're not giving you a whole one. Oh, wait, okay. I think I found him. Yeah, his name is Joe Delphin, and the character's name is McCarty.
Okay, so McCarty is the guy that is that typical stoner dropout guy that everybody knows from high school.
Yeah, everybody knows him.
There's always, it doesn't matter what era you come from. When you were in the 20s, you still knew somebody like
this. Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He is throwing a party, charging entrance fees for anybody that can pay it. Doesn't matter how old you are.
Yeah.
He's got kegs upon kegs and liquor upon liquor.
He's also got the,
His dad is the one that's the local firearms dealer.
Yes. And he's got this, I can't remember his name. I think his name is...
The short kid.
I can't remember his name. Ooh, can't find it either.
Yeah, if you can't find it, just call him a short kid.
Yeah, he's like the nerdy short kid, and
he was very short. But when they put him against other people, he was just like
related
at least three shorter.
But he's there working with him as well. This VIP. I wonder if he's related.
He was doing the.
I wonder if he's his brother because he's also on the float with him with his dad. So I wonder if
he
might be his brother.
It was security.
Yes, him. He was security.
While we have old dude sitting back, drinking beer, just watching as people walk in, this short guy, 5'3", whatever.
It's funny, too, that you have that scene with the four, like, high schoolers come up, and they're trying to get in. They're like, this is really worth it.
I don't think they were high. It looked like they were junior high school.
Yeah, they were young.
Like, middle school for, I'm old,
Yeah, they used to be junior
high. Middle school. Middle school now. They were like, hey, this is a clue. When I was growing up, my friends told me, when we go in here, do not ask them if it's cool. Just go in.
Yeah.
Because if you ask them if it's cool or not, they're going to know you don't need to be here.
Yeah, you're not cool. You're not cool. Because if you're asking if it's cool, you're not cool.
Yeah, you don't need to be here. So,
but
that's exactly what these kids do. They come up to the door. Is this party worth the money we're going to pay?
And then he gives them a whole speech about Black Sabbath. And he's
like, and they're like, who's Black Sabbath? And honestly,
respectfully,
his reaction, I'd have been like, fuck you too.
Yeah, he throws a cup at him. He's like, fuck out of here.
You don't know who Black Sabbath is? Go home and see your mama. I don't need you here.
It was so fun. That part was hilarious. I liked that a lot. And then that's when Scooby come in, Jess. He gives him the gun. Yeah. He also tries to give her like a knife thing.
I got to tell you. His bedroom.
Did he remind you of something?
Is laid out how I want the house to be laid out.
What, just a bunch of...
Secret gun compartments everywhere. I've looked at those things where, you know, like me and certain people in the house would have
like
the rings that would open up.
Yeah.
And you go by it, you could open it, and bam, here comes an AR so you can pick yourself. Or bam, here's the pistols. I've looked at those. And as he was going around his room, I'm like, oh man, that's what I want.
My favorite one.
That's awesome.
My favorite one was the stereo one. I like the stereo one. That one was great.
It looked like a classic 80s boombox with a tape deck and everything.
Nobody would think.
No. You lift it up and it was a, what did he say? It was 44? A 45
Magnum. Or 40, yeah.
Four. I'm like, dude.
And then he has the thing under his dresser where that's where the AR was. And
it pops out.
That's where he gets the pistol that he gives them.
Dude. I was jealous of that movie. I was.
I mean, it makes sense, especially his dad being the firearm dealer around there. Like, it makes sense that he would have all that stuff there.
Eventually. We all can all have dreams, right?
And, you know, he wishes him luck, and he says, you know, hey, try to live so you can give me my gun back. Well,
but he knows what's going on, because he understands that people have died. So he knows that, you know, shit's going on. That's why he's like, here, hit this gun. Protect yourself. But... live so you can give it back.
Yeah,
because guns are not cheap. Mm-hmm. Especially he gave them, what was it, SIG?
I don't know.
It was a SIG Sawyer, I think.
But like, it was like a 9mm. It didn't look like it was anything like huge like the other two.
Well, it wasn't a compact. It was a full size, but he gave them a gun.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Not cheap.
Yes.
It was at least $500. I'll say that.
That's when they get in the car. They're off. I don't know where exactly they're going at that moment, but they get distracted.
They get a phone call, don't they?
Julia. Yeah, you know, Julia. And,
Julia, Coolia.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to call
it. And poor girl. Poor girl. Insane, too, because there's the moment where she walks out from the bathroom and going to her room, and he's right there. She just noticed him. But he's right there. He's like right on the left.
And that's something like that I talked with Joel, my buddy over at Retro Movie Podcast, Retro Movie Geek Podcast. Mm-hmm. In horror movies, people lose their peripheral vision. Mm-hmm. The last movie I covered with him was Jason 6, which we saw at the movie theater.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
And this whole time where that one girl's walking down the hall, Jason's walking with her, but she never sees him. No peripheral vision.
Yeah.
Horror movies, people lose peripheral vision. It doesn't exist.
They lose everything. And she's about to lose her hearing, too.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Corn cob. Look, anybody that grew up in the Midwest, Northwest, whatever the hell it's called now.
Same time. I've seen those things at Dollar Trees. Like, it's you know, those little things with some stick.
I grew up with these things. Because I lived in corn country. I grew up in corn country in Ohio. So whenever corn season came in, we always had sweet corn. Was like, it was everywhere. You could get sweet corn for like 50 cents an ear. We always had a huge corn boil off, and we had these little corn-shaped things that we stuck in the ends so we could eat it.
And not having to put your hands on it, yeah.
Yeah, not get your hands all hot and burnt and buttery and all that shit. Oh, this poor girl.
She just gets some... It's funny, too, because she's cleaning out her ears before it happens. Yeah. And she drops...
And honestly, when that happened, when she was cleaning out her ears with the Q-tips, I'm waiting. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Is he going to shove Q-tips in her ears?
Well, you know what I thought was going to happen? She kept, like, putting her eye with the contact. I thought, like, finger was going to get stabbed.
That took forever. First thing, she had her contact in her finger, and she's like, they showed it up close, and her dad says something, and she gets up. I was like, you're going to lose your fucking contact. Just put it in your eye. But she walks around, does everything, comes back. I thought something was going to happen to her eye, too.
Yeah, but it didn't. And then before obviously he gets up to her room, he has like a tranquilizer gun.
Yeah, that's odd because I thought that he was.
Well, think about it.
I was surprised by that. I'll just say that. I was surprised by that.
I mean, based on, you know, what happens at the end, it makes sense he wouldn't want to kill the cop.
Yeah.
And it definitely makes sense he wouldn't want to kill. Like, it seems he only wants to kill the people that are actually responsible for, you know, what he thinks happened. And nobody else, he doesn't actually try to kill anybody else. It's only those people.
Till later on.
Well, no. I mean, like, most, again, the people he's going after are still those people.
Well, you know, he does mutilate the people that were directly responsible for what happened.
Yeah.
And you're right. Oh, everybody else was kind of like...
I don't know about Grandpa, though. I don't know about Grandpa. I don't know what he did. We'll get to him, though, in a minute.
Whatever.
But, yeah, she gets stabbed in her ears, and they're on the FaceTime call, so they see that happening. And so they're,
oh my gosh,
they're freaking out, driving the car to her house. And they pull up, they get there, and they find...
That's right. The cop's not dead. Her dad's not dead. They're tranquilized.
Yeah, they got the... Doo-doo-doo.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So that right there is a hint.
Yeah, of about what's happening. But like,
yeah, about what's
now, going on. I didn't really think about that until later on. But yeah, that's clearly he's not killing those people. But they run in. He's got the gun. Didn't turn the safety off. But he's got the gun. He's running in there. And the guy's got the John Carver guy's got Julia by the neck with a knife, and he's slowly walking backwards, like while he's got the gun pointed at her, and he, you know, he doesn't want to shoot through her, but he finally decides, you know, I'm going to shoot, and he clicks the trigger, nothing, because he has the safety on, and because of that, he's trying to.
This is one thing, Kelvin, gun safety throughout the years,
yeah,
throughout this movie, and I understand, like Jessica's going throughout the movie. Later on, when she gets a gun, she's got her finger on the trigger the whole time. And I'm like, oh, girl, stop. Take your finger out. And I notice those things now. I'm like, yeah. Get your finger out the trigger now. You don't put your finger on the trigger because you're going
to. Since I was like 14, once I started actually learning about gun safety, that's all I notice in movies whenever it's like, idiot, you're going to kill yourself.
Yeah. And so when he starts shooting at this killer, it doesn't go off. Well, first of all, when you have a gun and it has a safety feature and you click it, it's usually right there.
You just do it. But he doesn't know. You know, he's never fired a gun.
I understand that. And that's why Jessica, she said earlier in the movie, she's like, you know, they fire off a blunderbuss, which is an old school firearm gun. And they make it very clear that nobody has any experience with guns.
Yeah.
And still, the whole time I'm like, you should have learned.
Yeah, you should have for this situation.
You should have learned. And that's exactly why I have learned.
Yeah, no, and yeah, it really sucks too, because again, like if he was knowledgeable, you know, you would walk into the scenario. The moment I walk in the doors when I'm taking the safety off, because I see two bodies down there. I'm like, yeah, okay, let's get ready.
Finger off the trigger.
Yeah, yeah.
Safety's off, and you're waiting.
Just do the, you know, the old side thing. That's what. But and you just wait. But
no.
But yeah, he doesn't. Yeah.
But he doesn't know. I mean, and I get that they're high school kids.
Yeah.
They haven't been raised around that. They don't understand that.
Poor Julia, because she just gets pushed forward right into a bus saw.
This
this one and the grandpa we'll get to later. Those are the two that messed me up.
This Julia scene. Oh my gosh.
Poor girl.
It turns on this. It's a table saw is what it is. And turns it on.
Pushes her on it.
And just, well, you can imagine what happens. I mean, and now you got to remember, scuba, they call him scuba because his last name was Diver.
Yeah, right? His last name was Diver or Diving.
Diving or something like
first
that.
First name was like Claude. And this cop was like, yeah, scuba's better.
Scuba's better. So, and Julia is his girlfriend. So when he's got he has the gun and he's out there pointing it at a killer, Julia drops on the saw, blood goes all over him.
Yeah.
Blood, guts, and shit and piss all over him. He drops the gun. He's like, oh, whoa.
I did like this acting moment for him because, like, he's not like.
Yeah, he's asking, just, Jess, what do I do? What
he's
do
just I do? In shock. Like, he's not crying. He's just like, he's in shock by what just happened. And he's just sitting there and he's like, he doesn't know what to do. And moment afterwards. All sitting on the couch, the whole family, the cops there, a bunch of the cops are there. And that's when they decide that they're going to go throughout with the parade and they're going to try to make the place at the end where they're going to get to, the place where all the parade floats are, look empty.
At first, they said, no.
Oh, yeah, no. At first, they're not going to do it at all. Yes, you're right.
Fuck the parade. We're not doing it.
But Jess is like, what about Evan? What about Gabby? Like, they're not safe.
We need to get this guy. So they came up with this whole scheme. All right, you guys are rich. You guys are going to have a float in the parade for the what is it?
Right Mart.
You got an S.
Yeah, no, I'm sleeping. So did I.
Right Mart. Right Mart's going to have a parade out there. Go out there and be on the float. And what we're going to do is, because anybody that doesn't know, whenever there's a parade, all the floats congregate in one place to begin.
Yeah, it's like a warehouse in this scenario.
And it usually is a warehouse.
Yeah, I feel like, yeah. Usually that makes sense.
And they end in a similar
place. I only know that because of both this and Jingle All the Way.
And they usually end in a similar type of place. So they come up with this plan was like, okay, we'll get on your float. Whenever you guys come back in the back end, when it parade's over, we're going to have a whole bunch of police snipers or whatever the fuck's there.
Yeah, ready there. And when, because it's a perfect trap for him because they're the bait. And they're all in a car.
But the killer had other plans.
Yeah. And he did something so smart in this.
I gotta say, wicked clowns.
Look straight up like the killer clown like mask. It looked like that.
It does. It does.
But honestly, as soon as I saw that clown, I knew because I'm like, it doesn't add up with anything else here.
Yeah, he stands out. I mean, there's clowns for like a circus, but the clown looks different.
Yeah, they're like clown clowns. Yeah, they're like.
You see this guy? And I saw them walking around earlier, and I'm like, that's killer clown from outer space.
Yeah, I really did.
He stands out, but we also learned that he does stand out. In fact, and which something we learned earlier, actually, it was one of the guys that, what did he do earlier?
He was also, I think he was the other person that was at the Right Mart and accidentally killed her.
At that time?
Because it was two people. It was Lizzie and it was another person that were like smashing against each other.
We also learned back then that he was the school mascot. He dressed up in a squirrel out. Was it turkey?
It was turkey. Yeah, yeah. Because they're Plymouth, yeah.
So, that makes sense. I'm retarded.
But, and man, he's just walking around on the brakes.
This axe is sharp.
It really is, man.
This axe is sharp.
Brings it. So insane. Like,
he throws all these smoke bombs out everywhere.
Oh, that too. Yes, he does. Yeah.
It's kind of confused. People are like, what the fuck's going on?
Cuts the dude's head off.
Brings the axe off. His head... What you see is a big turkey head rolling.
But you see the innards.
And then you see the sloppy Joe looking. Just for now, but and everybody screams and everybody
you see goes a kid looking at it, he starts freaking out, yeah.
Oh my gosh. And this is pandemonium.
Yes.
Pandemonium. And,
but that moment, Grandpa breaks where he's taking the truck.
Anybody that's been in a parade knows how the parade works, right? We have floats. Cars and people that walk, and everybody has to be in motion the whole way through, or shit doesn't work out. Mm. That's how it works. you know, okay, if you see a light, you got to stop.
I forgot. They did get stopped a little earlier, too, because I can't remember his name. The guy who was married to the lady who died. The guy who worked at the Rite Mart. I can't remember his name. His name was...
That was Mitch, wasn't it?
Yes, Mitch. Mitch Collins. He stops right in front of the parade to do a little...
He's protesting.
He has the signs up.
He's like, fuck Rite Mart, fuck them.
And they break, and it's fine. Well,
and it's fine because, I mean, it's understandable because his wife got killed the previous year.
Yeah, it's a peaceful protest. Like,
I mean, he just goes out there. The police clear him out, you know, and they're like, okay, and the parade goes on.
And then that's when I think at that moment, that's when the...
the smoke. And you do see smoke. Maybe. I remember seeing smoke before all this started happening. A little bit of smoke.
I think he throws him out, and that's when he slices the head.
He has that axe. Mm-hmm. This motherfucker. Now, mind you, when they settled Plymouth, was in the 1600s, wasn't it?
Yeah.
1600s?
It's old axe.
That's an old axe.
He sharpened it up nice, though.
He sharpened it really fucking because he slices through this turkey costume and manages to get the guy's head cut right off.
And then that's, at that moment, that's when Grandpa freaks out. He breaks in the truck that's holding the ship for the Rite Mart people. And all our main characters are in there. And so when he breaks...
We say Grandpa because he's got grandkids next to him.
Yeah, right next to him.
This movie is fucked up.
So he breaks. And the ship, I think it was attached to something on it so it wouldn't move. But because he breaks so hard, it like broke off that. And the mass of the tip of the ship goes right through the window and just right through his head.
Now we're dealing with Plymouth. So we have the old school ships and built out of wood, and they had that mast. I don't even know. Is it called a mast?
No, because the mast is the thing that holds up.
It's like a big, long piece of fuck-sucking wood that comes off the front of it.
Yeah.
And sometimes they put like
a figurehead there,
something on there.
This is just a giant wooden pole.
This is a float, so they're not going all extravagant. This is big wooden pole that they have attached to their float.
Yeah, right in the front,
goes right through Grandpa's head,
dude. And it's his nose is like hanging up the top.
Yeah, I noticed that. You had the piece of wood. They purposely go back.
Yeah, they go back twice because you also see the girls screaming and they're going, Grandpa, Grandpa.
They have blood spread all over them.
It's so bad. And
he's sitting there with his nose hanging off to the side.
Yeah, that was the one that messed me up real good, dude. I think that was the most messed up death.
That was pretty bad.
Yeah. And so while this is all happening,
that was pretty fucking bad.
No, it's weird. They're all heading off the ship. Nobody thinks to grab the two girls that are getting blood drenched all over them. They're just like, screw that.
Well, it's pandemonium. I mean,
and at that moment, they're just trying to get
If you're related to those girls, you're thinking about getting them out.
Yeah.
If you're just on a float.
And also, I think at the moment, the cops are trying to get them away because they're the ones that are going to get killed. They're the ones being chased.
Well, because they're working on that puzzle, which was the picture.
And
get them into the car.
Yeah, so the cop gets all our main characters into the car, and
is it four?
So we got the stepmom, the dad, Scuba.
Oh yeah, and Jess. The stepmom.
Yeah.
Stepmom. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got all four of them into one police car because the police officer or the sheriff was his sheriff.
No, it was just a random cop.
He was going to get him out. Nope.
And it's a tranquilizer. He shoots the cop. Tranquilizes the cop.
Well, and this is a hint.
Again, another one.
Why is he not killing?
Like everybody. He's only going after these specific people.
Certain people he's killing. I mean, not just killing. Certain people he's like...
massacring. Like he's like...
Really? I mean, like he's mutilating them. You know?
But then, you know, like the cops and then like that lady's dad, he's just...
tranquilizing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So he gets in the car. He tranquilizes all four of them. And then he drives off in the cop car. With his big clown shoes.
He's got the killer clowns from outer space mask. Mm-hmm. I don't really know if it is, but
it looks like it.
If it is,
it looks cool. Like it.
And he drives off with the clown feet, clown shoes, speeds off. Cool.
And now, we're at a house, and you see some good old cranberry sauce getting made, is what it looks like.
Well, that's what I thought it was at first as well.
I knew immediately what was happening. Moment, like she's laying down and she has all the like the vegetables around her. I'm like, yeah.
And this is Karen.
Karen Cliche.
That's a funny last name.
Kathleen.
Kathleen, yeah.
And this is the stepmom that buzzed in to the Wright family.
Yeah. She's the one that deleted the security footage. Yeah.
She's the one that wanted it to be open on Thanksgiving Day.
Yep.
When he was mixing something up, at first I thought it was cranberry sauce as well. Mm-hmm. But then at the next scene, I'm like, that wasn't cranberry sauce. That was like butter. Or it was some kind of seasoning or something like that.
He's got one thing on the stove, and it is the cranberry sauce. But he already has another thing on the side that is that butter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And because he has it in like a little jar. And that's when he starts spreading her with the butter.
So we have this Karen Cliche, who plays Kathleen in the movie. She's knocked out.
Yeah.
You know, for all intents and purposes. And he has this brush, and he's brushing her with.
Now.
Later we can assume it's butter.
Butter, yes, yes. But, and now he thinks she's knocked out, but we know that she just woke up. She just got up.
she's looking at him.
Yeah, she's like.
And little by little, they pan back a little bit, and you see like a little decorative
like the potatoes and yams around her,
apples and stuff around her, mm-hmm. and then he's putting like sprigs of parsley on her,
salt, bit,
yeah, and it's coarse salt, mind you.
Yes,
it's not your average everyday table salt; it's coarse salt. He's sprinkling all over her, and you know what's going
to
happen.
Yeah. You see him walk over to the oven. He puts his mask on there, lets it burn a little bit for the effect. Yeah. Burn mask.
You know. Whenever you're dressing something like that, you know what to.
Yeah, yeah.
You're gonna cook it.
Yeah,
you know that before it even goes to the oven.
Yeah, 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 for sure.
And
poor lady, man.
This. If we talk too much about her, we're gonna skip around.
Yeah, this was one of my favorite scenes, though. I liked it a lot because I liked her. I liked her slowly trying to get out. You know, like her hiding in different places and like.
Yeah, her struggle. Yeah, her struggle to get out.
And. You know, there's a moment where she finally gets upstairs and she's in the fridge and that cheerleader girl's still in there alive, bleeding out.
I'll be back.
Yeah.
Come back.
And she closes it, but she won't get the chance to go back because she's running out the door. And this whole time he has a pitchfork chasing her. A
pitchfork.
And he spear tosses it and it lands right in her back and he drags her.
This is a thing as well. And one of the things I've learned from loving Jason Voorhees in Friday the 13th movies is that you always count the number of prongs that are coming off of your pitchfork. Because there's a scene in Friday the 13th where they show it in a scene, there's three, but when he throws it, there's four.
Yeah.
So I'm counting when
he's holding it normally.
He's throwing this, well, there's four. And when it hit her, there was four. She shouldn't be alive.
Oh, like whenever he's dragging her down there?
When she's in the oven and everything, she shouldn't be alive anymore.
Yeah.
But
I mean, she dies pretty quickly, though, in that.
Because they say she's been cooking all day. How long would it take if you're in an oven? Now, if you're cooking a turkey all day long, or any kind of piece of meat, if you're cooking it all day long, you're at about 250, 300 degrees.
Yeah, but I feel like she, like, because
how long would that take you to die?
I will say. Because, like, I don't know, it looks like she's dead when the thing pops, like, open when it's ready.
Is so that a tippy top?
It's supposed to look it's supposed
to look. That's the first time I've ever seen something like that.
It's supposed to look like a drink. I don't know why, but, yeah.
That, interesting. And I'll tell you in a minute.
Okay.
I'll tell you after we're done.
Okay. But it popped open. It pops open. So I think, but she already looked dead when it popped open, like her the thermometer thing. So I think she'd been dead for a little bit.
Well, that while she's cooked, while he, so he takes
Kathleen
and puts her in this huge ass fucking oven.
Enough to fit a human being.
And then, yeah, and she's tall. She's not a short lady. She's like 4 foot.
She's got like a model like figure. Like she's tall. Yeah.
And he opens the door and he jams something in her shoulder. And we watched the movie. I was like, that's one of those
thermometer things, yep.
And you know, anybody that has made a turkey for Thanksgiving knows that they come with these things in them that when they're done, this little red thing pops out. And as we're watching the scene, actually, as she heats up, this little red thing pops out.
It's like, all right, she's done.
And she actually becomes part of the Thanksgiving feast.
Yes, because we see Jess waking up and she's at the table. and you see her dad, Sewer. They're all strapped with what's called. By the way, I forgot to mention this. Before the parade happens, McCarty, one of the stoner guy who gives him a gun, he goes up and gives her a ring that her dad
had
in Iraq, and it said
this might help you, or it brought him luck.
Yeah, because he said this is the thing that kept him alive while he was over there.
But we don't. She doesn't know that there's a.
Yeah, no, she doesn't realize. While she's sitting down with the ropes, she's, just messing with her, trying to get out.
Fiddling with that ring.
And it opens. And it knife, a blade comes out.
A little blade. And now, mind you, it's a ring that's on your finger, so the blade that comes out is very small.
But, it'll work. It'll do the job they need to get done right
especially
now.
Especially because the killer is long-winded and likes to talk about what's going on.
Yeah, dude, yeah. And I think... we get at least one kill. This is happening. First, he grabs the phone. He's like, he's going around asking what people are thankful for.
Oh yeah,
goes to Evan first. He's like, it makes sense.
Wait, hold on. This is why it's important that it takes place in the current times, because this whole time he's live streaming, and earlier he's live streaming, but he had set it up because he knew that the police were going to track it, so he set it up that. Some cell phone was watching actually a monitor.
And that monitor was the thing that was actually live streaming from the phone inside of where they were at.
So that's why it's important that it happens
now.
Current times. Instead of
like in the 80s, because you need modern technology to do all this.
In the 80s, especially with the twist, especially
with the ending, when we get to the ending. But he reveals to all of them what's the gigantic thing in the middle of the table and is...
Because it's covered up.
Yeah.
It's covered up with a... Blanket, sheet, whatever, white sheet.
Moves it off and is her.
Now, what do you do when you buy a turkey and you put it on the center of the table for Thanksgiving dinner? There's no head.
And you also make its legs look pretty and like you really put them up.
The legs are crossed or stuffy inside of it. And the arms, the legs are pointed inwards.
This guy's crazy, man. This guy's insane.
This is.
He like methodically. Kathleen. He methodically did all of this.
He cooked Kathleen.
Stuffed her.
To a point. Stuffed her. Pulled her out. Cut her head off. And put her in the center of the table. Dude,
I feel so bad. The dad, vomits, while he's got that mouth covering.
And the people that are alive have, they're gagged.
Yeah. They just have, some.
So they show the dad, her husband. He starts throwing up, and it's just...
Yeah, just all over.
Just coming out everywhere.
And so that's when John Carver's like, all right, so time to get this started.
Get it done.
And so he grabs the phone. He's like, we're going to go around and ask what people are thankful for. And he's like, you know what? It makes sense, Evan, that you should be the first, considering you're the one that kind of inspired me to make my own live stream. Because he's the one that filmed the whole thing in the first place. And so...
Now, Evan is the dick boyfriend.
He's the only character that
stood up on the countertops.
And filmed
during the original riot and filmed it.
Yeah. And so by the way, this is the only character in this whole movie I didn't feel bad for at all. Like, this is the one I was like, you know what? Let him die. Who cares? He's a dick. Yeah, and so he grabs him. He grabs you. Now, you called it a waffle hammer.
Well, because early on, everybody was in the first riot, everybody wanted the waffle maker.
Yeah, the waffle irons. Yeah.
And that's what they look like.
Yeah. They had
when he picked up that hammer, the face of the hammer looked like that waffle
thing. Yeah.
Waffle maker.
Now, I don't know if it is exactly that, if he did that on purpose. I also just think it's a cool-looking hammer. But he lays him down on the table.
Oh, my gosh.
And his head splits open like a watermelon.
But he keeps hitting
them. Yeah, he doesn't. Even by the first one.
He's live streaming it.
Oh, and people are, liking it.
Yeah. What's worse, that he's actually smashing a guy's head in? But well, people are liking
it. And then saying, is this guy actually dead? In the comments, if you read it.
He's smashing. He's hitting the guy. And you pan back and you see a view from the phone. Mm-hmm. And you see brain.
Yeah, just looking up. Yep.
Brain.
And it's one of those weird things, too, because, part of our society now is, the internet. And if someone...
A major part of the society now is the internet.
Been on the internet, ever since I was a child. It's weird, because, there's a weird, I don't know if it has to do with film, I don't know what it is, but there's a weird, desensitizing of, violence whenever you see it on a screen. Because, I don't know what it is, people will send you stuff, on the internet that's, just a random example I can think of that happened recently. Me and my friends got on like a Twitter argument with somebody stupid. And basically at the end of the argument, this guy's like, okay, fine. He says his last thing and he posts a video, guy blowing his brains off, blowing his brains out. Now we knew who this guy was because he was a Twitch streamer, killed himself on live stream. Like we knew the story. I'd never seen that clip. And he posted it and the guy thought it was a funny joke that, you know, but I'm like, we were all messed up because I was like, just saw a man blow his head off. I'm like, Jesus. Yeah. So it's just, that was one of those weird things too. I'm like, yeah, that's kind of true. A lot of people do get desensitized to that weird, like, violence of. Still, it's like you're watching somebody get their head smashed. It's a little different for me, anyway.
Yeah.
But
and I think what am I considered Gen X?
You?
Yeah.
I think you're millennial.
No.
Aren't you?
I'm a Gen.
I think my mom's a millennial.
Yeah. I'm a Gen Xer, and I was one of the people that grew up with all this violence.
Movies and stuff, yeah.
And everything. And I was one of the people that I grew up with, one of these was like, you know what? You don't fuck with Gen Xers because they grew up with coming home with nobody home. And we learned to cook for ourselves. We learned to raise ourselves. We did all this shit.
You guys were watching Terminator at the age of 5.
I was watching Evil Dead at the age of 7.
Yeah. It's way different, in my opinion, when it's something fictional. And then what's something real, you know, what's a real person. Like, because in their world, that's a real person getting their head smashed. You know what I mean?
I know we're veering off the actual.
Yeah, we are.
But it's just like, what did that stuff affect me adversely? Or did it prepare me more for dealing with stupid bullshit?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, watching The Evil Dead at 10 years old. I mean, watching, you know, I grew up watching these horror movies that are. Everybody loves now. Evil Dead, the whole Evil Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, Hellraisers. I grew up watching those way before I would let any of my kids watch. Mm-hmm. But did that make me a better person? I don't think it has any effect.
Same thing for me. Like whenever it's like you know, there's a huge argument whenever there's like a school shooting or something happening. Like violence of video games, you know, it's like. There's that. And I never see that make sense to me. Cause like as someone who was raised playing like Call of Duty and stuff like that, like
I play Call of Duty all the time.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I never like shot up, like killed people in a game and thought, you know what? This would be fun to do in real life. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you know,
I think,
yeah, no, we are veering off.
It's okay. It's okay. Because I think people listening to this podcast know that I watch movies and I'll say things, how I feel about it. So it's not a big deal. But there comes to a point when you got to take responsibility for your own action.
Yes, 100%. Yeah.
And it doesn't matter. You can blame it on what you can blame it on your parents. You can blame it on video games, on movies, whatever.
But you're the person that did that thing.
You did it.
Yeah.
So it's your fault.
Mm-hmm.
I watch horror movies. I've watched horror movies since I was fucking 7 years old. Mm-hmm. 7 years old. And I grew up watching horror movies. At the epitome of when horror movies were the best.
Yeah, when they were at their peak. Yeah.
They were at the best. Practical. There was no CGI. There was no computer.
That's when you were getting
all CGI. When you watched a horror movie, you were like, was that fucking real?
Like The Thing. Like, yeah.
You know, and I grew up, what I learned was that I needed to work harder was when I had a family. It had nothing to do with what games I was playing or what movies I was watching. Okay, I have kids. Those kids have to eat.
Yeah.
Those kids need to have diapers.
They need school books or whatever.
Yeah, it had nothing at all to do with video games or movies. Nothing of that bullshit. It was what I could do in my outside life. We're getting off.
Yeah, I know. We started driving off.
Yeah, we started.
Not bad. That was
a good lesson that a lot of people need to learn.
Yeah.
A lot of people need to learn.
Yeah.
Take responsibility for your actions.
Yeah. Don't be blaming. Whatever you did when you were 12.
Don't blame Biden. Don't blame Trump. Don't blame Obama. Blame yourself.
Now, you know, there's plenty of certain scenarios where, like, you know, people get led to do bad things. And, like, you can see how, like, the world around them got to them to that
point. Well, that's your surroundings and how you accept your surroundings.
Exactly. And exactly, because there are some people that will take their surroundings and just sit in it and deal with it. But there are some people that don't like where they're at, and so they want to be better, and they want to take themselves out of that scenario.
And we'll look at one of the biggest communists in our era, Bill Gates.
Oh.
He was nothing. He was a college dropout.
Yeah, well, him and Steve Jobs, they were both like college dropouts, yeah.
And they sat in their garage, and Steve Jobs made Apple, Bill Gates made
Microsoft.
They were nobody important.
Yeah.
They're nobody spectacular. They didn't have to finish. Let's stop this.
Yeah.
Because going on to a whole different podcast.
Okay. So back.
I don't even know where the hell we were at. Okay, you know?
So back to Thanksgiving. And his head just got smashed. He's all his head's like a water, open like a watermelon. And
with the waffle iron.
Yes. Hammer. Yes. And all this is happening. That's when.
I think you remember that. I don't know if I remember that.
That's when she's. When she has the ring, and so she's cutting her ropes in
her rope,
and she also hands it to Scuba.
Scuba,
yeah. And while this is happening, while it's being handed to Scuba, the guy's like, "All right, so I think it's time to eat." And so,
oh my gosh, that's right.
He goes to her leg,
clean,
and he cuts a
inner thigh.
Yeah, he gets
inner thigh.
He's her inner thigh. Cuts it, and he gives it to the dad. And he's like, he says something about consumer. You love your consumers. It's time for you to do some consuming yourself. And he puts the thing on the plate. And I suspect he wants him to eat it or die.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Yeah.
He does.
But he doesn't get to that point because Scuba grabs the chair, throws it at him. And that's when
they start breaking out.
Mm-hmm. The guy grabs the axe. Starts chasing him down the hallway. At some point, they figure out they're at the Carver house.
Well, there's one scene that I think is important. Once they get out to a certain point here, and the killer swings the axe and Scuba goes down, and Jess keeps on running, killer runs after Jess.
Yeah,
that's integral. That's very important because we learned that Jess is more important
to this guy than Scuba
than anybody else.
Yeah,
because he's running after Jess. Now Jess is running around. Now she's always had this bracelet on her wrist. Is it?
It's like her mom's or something.
Yeah, her mother. Picture of her mother and her inside the heart. It's a cliche. We've all seen it. Mm-hmm. Blah, 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 whatever. But as she's jumping over this fence to get away from the killer, it gets snagged on the fence.
Yeah, top of the fence.
Now, I thought at this point here, I thought she lost it.
Oh, when she fell down? Yeah.
But
so did I.
Find out later on she didn't.
Yeah, she still has it, yeah. Or I thought something happened to her hand, but it was fine.
The killer's right behind her.
When she falls, she like also busts her ankle.
Yeah. She twists her ankle a little bit. Yeah. And I could have sworn at this point here that Jess was more important. And this lent credence to my original thought for her. I thought that the, I'm going to give it away yet.
Yeah.
The killer was the killer.
Yeah. You figured out who it was.
I figured it out early on.
But, I didn't put it together until it happened. Other thoughts, but she gets over the fence and she's running along, and she finally gets to the warehouse where the floats were, and in front of it she sees the cop car and the sheriff. The sheriff is right in front.
And this was another big gimme.
Yeah.
To my view, what I thought.
Again, so he's knocked out. He's on the ground, and she looks up and she sees somebody in the John Carver in the suit running in, and so she grabs the 45 or whatever
rifle. 44.
Yeah. She grabs his gun. Goes in there. This is a weird scene for me because the way they shot it, it makes it look like he saw her. Like when he turns and you see the
gun, looks like he saw her.
But he didn't. Like they don't say, because he turns around.
Well, I think he did because we learned that it was Bobby.
No, I know. But like, think about it. Like,
is that Bobby?
That's his name. Think about it. Like in his thing, he's in that mask, in that outfit. You don't think he would go to her and explain, hey, this like just happened? Like he, you know. Because we find out later what happened to him. Yeah. I don't think he actually saw her. It was just the way that shot. It made it look
like it looked like he did.
But he takes off the mask and we see it's Bobby. And you're like, oh, crap. Bobby's the killer. That's great. And that's when the cop comes in right behind her, grabs the gun, and goes like, go outside. And goes to go chase him. She's right outside with where the gate is. The door's right there. And she, a bunch of shots go off. And he runs back outside.
Now, I'm going to try to wait. When Jess is inside this building, and she's Bobby. Mm-hmm. Right away, I was like, nah, he's not. Because he's do show him taking off one of those masks. But he's also wearing, like, work overall.
Yeah. And
he's not wearing a
balaclava.
You know, he's not wearing the whole thing. He's wearing work overalls.
Yeah. He's also got a hoodie on, which the guy normally doesn't have a hoodie. Or, yeah, and also, he doesn't have
a hoodie. That's not him.
Yeah. But, so, yeah, the sheriff is trying to shoot at Bobby, runs out, gets out the door, is trying to reload, and...
is what he says.
Yeah, that's what he says. And then it cuts, all the cops are come. Their cops and sheriffs come in, they're checking out the place, and they can't find him. He ran away. Yeah. And so, it's the sheriff, yes, the other new cop that came into town, and the detective, and they're all...
We forgot the new sheriff's deputy.
Yeah.
Forgot to mention him, he's not much of conversational.
No, yeah, he isn't, yeah. He's one of those people that I was thinking at very first that it could have been.
And it's sad this is him in there with
I think they threw him in there as like another suspect, as another person you'd think could be it.
Yeah.
But they're in there and they say they found Bobby's phone and they're putting the phone as evidence. Yep. And
because it was still connected to the live stream.
Yes, exactly. So they're like, obviously it must have been Bobby because it was his phone. And so they... cop and the detective are gonna go to the hospital and they'll meet them there, the sheriff and the girl.
Yeah.
And so the girl's just in there, she says she needs a minute to you know calm down, and he's like, yeah, that's fine. He goes outside, like wipes some napkin or something, wipe down his face and he goes to go throw the napkin away, it drops.
Yeah.
And that's when she looks down and notices his feet and his shoes,
because beforehand she was picking these things off of her leg,
and also
these little... We used to call them hitchhikers.
Yeah. They're like couch. I don't know, couch drops.
When you walk through the woods and you get these shits on you, and you sit down, you're picking them off because they get into your shoe. They hurt, motherfucker.
Yes.
She's picking them off, and this is when she looks down at his feet.
And earlier on in the movie, he had mentioned to her, "It's the small things, you know. It's the small things that get him.
Small things.
It's the small things you don't notice." And she looks down and she sees a bunch of those all over his feet, just like when she was running through the forest. I think she noticed also they're very the same shoes. And so she, her face is shocked. She's freaking out. And he's like, what's wrong? He's like, I don't feel good. He's like, oh, okay. He turns around, ready to walk out. And he looks at his feet. And he's like,
oh, shit.
If only you weren't on that fence for a little longer.
Yeah.
And he closes the door. And that's when we find out it's the sheriff.
Yep. So the whole time, this whole fuck-sucking movie.
The sheriff.
It's the sheriff.
Yeah, he's been the killer.
It is, what's his name? Patrick Dempsey?
Yeah, Patrick Dempsey. Yep.
This whole time. And it turns out that the reason why
he's doing any of this
is because Gina Gershon. Now, go back to the beginning of the movie, and we're splitting up the classes again. Gina Gershon was married to
Mitch Collins, the guy worked at the store, the Right Mart.
But the sheriff, Patrick Dempsey, had been having an affair with her.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, she was pregnant.
Yeah, and she was going to leave him, and they were going to go off and.
She was pregnant. They were going to leave off. They were going to go off and do their whole little cheating thing.
Yeah.
But she got killed.
Yeah.
Which in turn means the baby got killed.
Yeah.
Well, now Patrick Dempsey's pissed.
And it definitely makes a lot more sense now in the opening scene when he sees her and he freaks out and he shoots the gun.
And this is when, I didn't mention this earlier because I wanted to save it to the end.
Yeah.
But at the beginning of the movie, there's a point where all this ruckus and chaos is going on. Patrick Dempsey, the sheriff, stands up in the middle.
Sees her dead.
He sees her dead. He stands up in the middle of this Value Mart.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Right Mart. And his face is in shock.
He stands up and he just shoots his firearm.
And it goes red.
Goes red. Right then, now me, being a horror freak, nerd, whatever the fuck you want to call
fanatic.
Him, I knew he's a killer. Because of that scene. Now, we come to the end of the movie. And I was proven correct.
Yes. And you see, I had been thinking, honestly, the whole time, I've been thinking it was the other cop, the new one.
Yeah.
There was really no reason for him to do it. You know, it made no sense. He came out of town.
I got it. Through the whole movie, while the killer, whenever they showed the killer, I was looking at the killer. Okay. Body. How's the body looking? You know, what?
Tall. Is he short?
Is he tall? Yeah.
Is he lean? Is he muscular?
But I'm like, there was a point where I even thought that it might have been the boyfriend. Rich boyfriend.
Oh, yes, the tall one. Yeah.
But I'm like, no, it's got to be the cop. It's the cop. It's the cop. The whole time.
Indeed the cop.
And indeed, yeah.
And so he starts, you know, doing his old classic villain diatribe. He starts telling her why he's doing all this, why he, you know, his whole reasoning.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, as much his reasoning.
Yes.
It doesn't have to make sense.
No, yeah. But that's the reason why he did all this. And so he's, you know, getting ready to finally finish her off. And she says, wait, you forgot to ask me what I was thankful for.
And she says, Thanksgiving.
Yes. And he's what are you thankful for? And she picks up a phone that she's been filming with him this whole time, live streaming. And she says, I'm thankful that the cell service here is so great.
Yeah. So everybody, and the bad thing is that just like earlier when he was killing, there was so many likes. So when she does it, there's so many to like.
Yeah.
Everybody's liking.
Like, yeah.
There's thumbs up everywhere.
At least this time, you know, it's good. He's getting caught.
I don't know. If I'm watching something live streaming, I'm like, if I don't know if it's real or not,
yeah,
I'm not going to like
it. Yeah, true.
Especially if it's somebody getting slaughtered. I'm not going to like it. I'm not. I'm just going to be like, they're fucking idiots.
But yeah, he catches her red-handed. Or she catches him red-handed. Got proof now. Like, yep. He said everything. And so he's like, all right, time to kill you. And right before he can, you know, get at her, yeah. Bobby has a hammer in his hand. And he tosses it and hits him in the head through the window.
She is so lucky.
She really is.
She is so lucky.
But yeah, he tosses it, hits him in the head, and she, you know, she grabs, he grabs her, and they're running out. And there just happens to be, obviously, a handy fire axe on the wall.
Oh, so, it's handy.
Yes.
It's handy.
And so he grabs it. He starts chasing after him. Finds him in, like, this... He's getting close to him. Like, they're all, like, near these clothes hangers. And Bobby, being the smart kid he is, he grabs him, throws it, and so he...
Distracts him.
Clatter, and he heads over there.
Yeah.
And find their Bobby's, like, uncle's truck. They try to get in it, get it started. God.
This whole scene, I'm going to tell you right now, was I was on the edge of my seat. I'm like, you mother, get in that truck and go.
She couldn't get the door.
She can't, because whoever parked this fucking idiot truck, parked so good, and then posted this post. She can't, jumps in the back. Fine. Get the fuck out.
Yeah, they start driving away.
Why in the fuck is your cable
still on
hanging
there?
Out?
And the cable's hanging, so the sheriff's like,
That's like walking into a store with your dick hanging out. Hey, anybody, whatever. If you have a fucking tow truck, you don't just leave your cable hanging out.
But they did. The uncle did, I guess.
Oh.
Okay. And so they're getting away in the truck, and Eric sees the cable, so he wraps it around this like pillar, and they're stuck. They're not able to.
Yeah. The sheriff's getting one up on him.
Yeah.
He's like, I got you guys, motherfucker. Oh,
that's
We forgot the.
Just before she gets in the truck, she sees the inflatable turkey. And so she
fucking turkey.
And so she lets off the
and the canister on the side of the turkey says flammable
gas. Yeah. And so she lets it off and lets it start filling up.
All right. So hold on. Let's address that real quick. First of all, they do not inflate.
Look.
Float balloons or whatever.
Like helium.
With flammable air. It doesn't happen.
It's like a machine that like, it's like a machine that like vacuums it, like air in, like it's not
like hot air.
Yeah, maybe. It's not.
They don't. There's no flammable. But for the sake of this movie,
it is.
It's flammable.
Yes, and so
the turkey's huge, huge.
And so he's he gets on her. He tries to stab her with the axe, and she has the gun. She has the blunderbuss. And she blocks it.
Blunderbuss. Those things are fucking off.
Yeah, gets him back. And he's backed up a little bit. And so she starts filling it with the gunpowder. And while she's filling it with gunpowder, she tries to go for the pellets or whatever, the bullets. And a bunch of them drop.
Oh.
And so she's like, crap.
When that happened, I was like, you motherfucking idiot. Ass.
He's like, crap, what am I going to use? And she sees her mom's bracelet. And so she's like, ah, perfect. So she takes it off, shoves it in the gun. And she says, gets her one-liner. She aims at the turkey. Not him. She aims at the turkey. And she says, you're right, Sheriff. There is no leftovers. And she shoots it.
Earlier on in the movie, he says that.
He says that to her. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, there are leftovers. And I'm like, when he said that, I was like, that's it.
Yeah.
Sequel. That is, Jason has his, you know, Freddy has his, you know, nightmares, live forever thing. They all have it.
This guy's
is
only Thanksgiving material.
There are no leftovers.
Yeah, she says it back. She shoots the turkey, and with all that flammable gas that's, you know, in there, it just blows
out. They never find his body.
Yeah, the cops all come back, you know.
Well, I'm sorry. What they say is that it was so hot.
Anything that would have been in there would have been burnt to a crisp.
But that tells you there's nobody.
Yeah, there's nobody. There was nobody in there.
And now, and this goes back to what I was telling you earlier. There are so many branches here that could lead to a sequel. I mean, a whole scene with the parade. How many people were traumatized at that parade with the beheading of the turkey?
Yeah,
kids. The grandfather was killed in the church.
There's a lot of other people that could take up the mantle of the
kid. You know, yeah. But the case of the fact that they never found the body.
Yeah, he himself could still be out there.
He could still be out there. So we could still have a
Thanksgiving too.
Thanksgiving Day killer.
Yeah.
There's somewhere.
I kind of do hope they go for a sequel. Because I will say.
Oh, they will.
The movie's basically over. I mean, they're all cop car, all the main characters.
Yeah, are out of the hospital. Everybody's fine.
And everybody's fine. We get one kind of like weird scene at the end where she's asleep with her boyfriend in bed and the door opens.
Oh, yeah, dreams.
Yeah, some dream sequel. You know, he's on fire. And
well, but that's a post-traumatic stress. Yeah, I mean, everybody will have that.
But the movie's basically over. And I got to say, this right here is what I want in a slasher nowadays.
Well, I'm going to go a little bit further. Because slasher movies aside, this is what I want for a Thanksgiving horror movie.
Yeah.
Horror.
Yeah.
Period. Because what did we cover last year?
Thanksgiving.
Gobble, motherfucker.
Thanksgiving.
I mean, I covered about three or four different movies last year for Thanksgiving. Some are good. Some are decent. Some are Thanksgiving.
That was a terrible film.
Thanksgiving by Eli Roth, 2023.
Yeah.
Good movie.
This
good slasher movie. Good to carry on for the future.
Yeah, this is going to be one of those movies now I could definitely see people pulling up on Thanksgiving. Like, Halloween ended, you still kind of want a little spooky vibe, throw that in. And it'll get you there, because there's plenty of great
I will kills. Definitely be playing that. Yeah, it's... I can see this being a franchise.
Yeah, I can see them easily making money. Apparently, it did a current
type of franchise, because, you know, Michael... Everybody's tired of Michael and the Jason shit, like...
It's only been out for the weekend, and it's already out of a budget of 15. It's already at 12.6 million. So it's going to get there. It's going to make its money back. Yeah.
And as long as it makes its money, Eli Roth is a horror.
He's done
a lot of horror.
That's the beautiful thing about horror movies too, is you can make it a low budget movie, but still make it work. And you get so much in returns. Cause everybody likes a horror movie.
And this movie had the boost of being one of those,
Grindhouse trailers.
Grindhouse trailers. Yeah.
So a lot of horror fans wanted to see this finally get made.
Really wanted to see it. And in my opinion, it was good.
Yeah, no, it was a good slasher fic. I liked most of the characters, not all of them, but I liked the characters. I didn't want to see him die.
What was his name? Aaron?
Oh, Evan. Yeah, Evan.
Evan he was a good. Dick.
But Scuba was the boy.
Scuba was good. Jess was good.
Yeah, Jess was good. Most of the characters, even like Killer, I liked his character too. I liked the sheriff's character. Like, it made sense. And I liked how, like, the whole time he was obviously, like...
I think we kind of skipped past that a little bit. The reason why...
Remember, the sheriff. Yeah.
The reason why he came back to do the killing...
Oh, we covered that.
But we...
Yeah, well, you found out that he liked that late... That,
well, he was involved with Gina Gershon, but she was pregnant.
Yeah, yeah. We'll talk about that.
I don't think we did.
We did. Definitely did.
She was pregnant.
Yeah, we definitely did.
Because he was pissed because
we talked about
they took his family away from him.
We talked about it at the reveal, like whenever she was live streaming. Yeah. But yeah, like I said before, this is a great slasher. I hope we get a sequel. I hope we get more.
I'm done.
Yeah. My drink's, well, it's almost done.
And half a jar of sweet tea moonshine, and it's gone.
We got like a couple sips left of the Voodoo Ranger.
Drink too much moonshine. It's real moonshine. It's not the shitty by the stores either.
Yeah. It's that glue stuff.
But so, peanut butter, banana moonshine. What'd you think about that?
That was delicious. It was, it's the best alcohol I've ever had in my life.
Nick Kalo, good job, Bob.
Yes, seriously. It's just like, because your apple pie, to me, it just tastes like candy.
Yeah.
That one tastes like I was eating like a pie. Like I was eating like banana.
It was like peanut.
peanut butter, banana pie.
When I drank that, when I was at the, I was like, am I leaving today? Because if I keep drinking this, I'm not going home.
Yeah, I'm not going to be able to get home.
That's why I was like, Nick, sorry, buddy. I know that's good stuff, but I can only taste today.
Yeah, delicious stuff.
He's a good guy. But that's it. That is this episode of Thanksgiving from 2023. Eli Roth. Damn good movie, in my opinion.
Yes. Kelvin? I loved it.
I think it was spectacular. I'm looking forward to what I bring back for 2024. Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
We'll see. Eli, I know you listen to my podcast, right? Kick it into gear, buddy.
Yes.
Yeah. And until next time, everybody have sweet dreams. Love, peace, and chicken grease.
And no leftovers.
And that's gonna do it for the day. Thanks for hanging out with me and let me bend your ear for a while. Ain't no time for bad shine. And until next time, don't forget. You're wrong.
Later, Tater.
This concludes our broadcast day. Good night and God bless America.